Yeah, what we're doing. Having fun now.
Talking about the Kilesas, you said it already.
What?
What can I do with my Kilesas in Germany?
How?
Huh?
Burn them up.
good. How?
Not following them? Yeah.
It's a very difficult life.
No, it's a very easy, it's a very happy life.
But work is not Kilesas. So
no.
Okay.
No, it's not, yeah. You know, not everything is Kilesas.
Yes, so I'm always not sure, is it? Maybe okay, the desires are Kilesas, I think. Maybe now I want to eat, I want ice cream, or I want to coke, or
yeah, or I want to work, you know, for my next audio. Yes, that is Kilesas. I want to work for my next audio, or for a bigger house, or for this, or for that, or for that. You know, it's all Kilesas.
It's Kilesas. So I'm sometimes asking, like Panacham Mahabua or so, what did they do in the forest when they was maybe alone in the forest in a cave about the Kilesas, to destroy the Kilesas? So I'm always not sure what did they do?
Buddha.
And then it's destroyed. I don't think so.
No, investigation of the khandhas, of the five khandhas. That's how you destroy the Kilesas. I mean, you destroy the pot of the plant of greed and hate.
Okay, greed and hate,
when
is Kilesas gone?
No, that. I mean, what's up, you know, he's already gone. He has no self-control anymore, he can't even let me talk, finish talking.
Sorry.
Investigation of the five khandhas, you know, leads to the end of suffering, leads to the end of dukkha, and that leads to the end of the Kilesas. I mean, if you listen carefully enough to some of the talks I gave, you know, I explained it very carefully. So when you're alone in the forest, all what you do is, I mean, you investigate. And what you investigate at the beginning, you investigate the body. You want to destroy the mental idea or the mental image about the body. It is just like destroying the pot with the plant of greed and hate are rooted. Once you destroy the pot, I mean, greed and hate have no. They're just, you know, dry up. They cannot grow anymore. But as long as, you know, as long as you keep the pot and watering the plant, and whatever you do in the sense of following the Kilesas, you know, is watering the plant. If you don't follow it, you know, you don't give it water. That's why our Buddha is so important. I mean, while doing Buddha, you know, we don't feed the Kilesas, so we don't give the plant of greed and hate, you know, the ability to grow. So it has to shrink. Man, but it's a, you know, it's not only a plant, it's a huge tree. I mean, just think about a tree, you know, that has grown for the last billions of lives. Yeah? I mean, it's huge, you know, even if you don't give him water, you know, for years, I mean, it's still there. It survives of its own. So then the next thing is you destroy the pot. And that is the body. I mean, you don't have to. Killing is not, when I say destroying, then I don't mean, you know, to kill ourselves, because that's not the way out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just the way to the new body, and maybe probably, most probably to hell. I mean, just like in Christianity, you know, killing oneself is a sin. Mm-hmm. It's against the five precepts. Not only to take other people's life, but also to take one's own life. Except for the arahant, he can kill himself.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if he doesn't see anything, there's nothing useful anymore, and he's constant in pain, you know, he can take an end of his life. Mm. I mean, he's finished anyway, so
yeah.
It doesn't matter. So that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You do it from the morning till the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Investigation of the body. You look at one object of the body, you take an object of the body, be it the outer object, like hair of the head, or hair of the body, or the skin, or the nails, or the teeth, and investigate them. The first thing you need to investigate them is to see them with your inner eyes, so they become lucid. Once you see them with your inner eyes, then you can cut them up and see what they are made of. To understand what they are made of.
But you can do it in your room or in the monastery as well.
Of course,
it's
you.
You have to go to the forest.
No. But what you do in the monastery, you see a lot of people, you see a lot of food, you see lay people coming in.
Okay.
I mean, that in Greece is just Kilesa. The Lord Buddha knew that. So he said, you know, the training places for monks are the open, or the forests, or the hills, or the caves. That's where they go.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't go in groups, they go by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing, when you go by yourself, you have to fight loneliness. It's one of the kilesas. You have to fight fear. It's another one of the kilesas.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you're with other people, you know, then
yeah.
You feel secure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're alone in a place, you know, you feel very insecure. And you don't have all this comfort that is around you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here you get your food every day, you know, you don't have to worry about it. When you're forest, you have to walk in the path and get some food and then go back. And then for the rest of the day, that means for 23 hours you're alone. Just with yourself. You don't have any Ken or you don't have any Günther to talk to. You cannot tell anybody about your great experience in meditation.
Maybe the birds.
So all what you do is, you know, you observe the wall of the cave you're living in, or the trees that are around you, or the grass that is around you, or experience the wind. And that's why practice in the lineage of Ajahn Mun is called the Forest University, the forest that teaches us about life. But that doesn't mean that you have to go, the moment you ordain that you have to go out by yourself. And on the first 5 years of training, just training to be comfortable as a monk, to know how to behave, to know what to do, and how to practice. And just like every kind of profession we take up, we first train ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And once we train ourselves, then we develop ourselves until we become a master. A master of the kilesas. Not the way that the people are usually, they are the slaves of the kilesas. The kilesas tell them, and then they do it, or believe it. So once you have destroyed the pot of the greed and hate, then you still have the four khandhas, the four nama khandhas, the four mind khandhas. And the biggest one is sanya and sankhara. Is memory and thought. Because the world around, you know, in a very, very fast way. And to break through them, to see through them, is very difficult. Especially, you know, if you don't have mindfulness. Enough mindfulness. But because the big pot is gone, that distracts us, then we have more attention to what is going on in the citta. And then we can see it. And that investigation is that what leads to the end of suffering, or to the end of the Buddha or Samadhi just leads to a stop. I mean a break. Just like you have a break, you know, you have a break fast. You have dinner. I mean it's a break, or you take a break while you're working. Yeah? During the break, the kilesas don't work. The moment you get off the break, you know, the kilesas start working again, and then you have to do investigation. So samadhi is taking the rest, and investigation is the work. So without any work, we don't get any work. And without samadhi, we don't have enough power, we don't have enough energy to work. Because we need to be absolutely concentrated. If you want to investigate something, then it's just not thinking about it, but it's really seeing it, it's really dissecting it, it's really burning it up or churning it up or whatever you want to do with it. To see through it. And it's just the same thing if your eyes are weak and you don't see the text in front of you, you need some glasses to focus your eyes. And samadhi is that focus. It's the glasses. But it's difficult, and you know it, how difficult it is. The kilesas constantly come in and tell you, you know, I don't want it, I've enough, or I was doing very well, so let's take a break from the work. And that's why a lot of Westerners now think, oh, well, you know, because it's so difficult, just skip, you know, samadhi, you know? And just go on with the work. And then all what remains is just samya and sankhara. It's just thinking. I mean, if you could solve problems with thinking, you know, then we wouldn't need to sit here. But that's how the kilesas also work. I mean, I can't do it, or it's difficult to do it, so, I mean, then we finally arrive to the conclusion, we come from the West, we cannot do samadhi, only Asian people can do samadhi, so we just do wisdom. And they don't know what wisdom is, so they think that it's knowledge. So they know and know and know and know, read this book and read that book, hear this teacher or hear that teacher, oh, he says this and this and this and this. They don't even see, in the beginning they don't even see the contradictions. And they don't understand. So sooner and later they have their ideas about what it is all about. And then they are finished. Then they are crazy arahants, like Tanacha Mahapur calls them. They think they are finished because they think they understood everything. But if you understand the nature of avijja, then it is trying to understand but not being able to understand. I mean, you can look at the fire, you know, for the rest of your life, you will never understand the power of the fire. The moment you put your hand into the fire, you understand immediately, instantly the power of the fire. That is what is called wisdom. The rest is knowledge. Huh? You can read 1,000 books about fire. The various forms of fire, the various colors. But that is not what we need to know. What we need to know, that's not it. We need to understand in a way of the heart. We need to understand through experience. So the practice is all about experience. Experience brings us this insight. Lets us see into our citta. And that's all what we know. We don't need to foster the wisdom. We only need to let the citta see the truth. And that's it. We don't have to make the citta understand, because the citta knows much more than we know. The citta knows everything. It knows also the birth, our previous birth, everything it knows about us. Not only about us, but about all the others. Because we lock that door to our heart. I mean, it's a pretty common saying. We lock the door to our heart. I mean, in the beginning we just locked it, and then we put rubble, and then we put stones in front of it, and now in order to get to this door, you know, we have to remove all this shit.
That's it.
Once you find the opening of the door, you know, then it's very easy. But the Kilesas, of course, are blocking the door to the true knowledge. Because they are the ones in charge, you know, they are the ones who want to know. I mean, don't think it is easy, and don't think it's difficult. It just works. I mean, that's why I say it, I compare it. Yeah? I mean, if you want to dig a hole, I mean, just take a shovel and dig. And the result of it, of this kind of work, will be a hole. If you constantly think about what is the best way to dig a hole, and how, you know, and then you take one shovel, you measure the time, and then you extrapolate, and how long does it take me to get 5 meters deep? I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we really do the 2 or 3 shovels, and then we think about it, you know, how to make it easier. If we would just dig and dig and dig and dig, I mean, we would just get the hole. Or if you think about, you know, digging a hole through a mountain, or tunnel through a mountain. I mean, you can extrapolate and think when you're finished, but you never know. I mean, you only know the moment you put the last stone, you know. Then you see the light. Before, you don't know. All what you can do is just one stone, one stone, one stone. And that is the same, that holds true for samadhi. It holds true for investigation of the body. I mean, just one time investigating our liver or the skin or the hair, you know, is not enough. We have to do it 1 time, 100 times, 1,000 times, and 1,000,000 times. Until we see the light. Until we get the insight. Until we get the understanding. So don't worry, I've done it 100 times now, it should be enough. No, it's not enough. It's the Kilesas who said it should be enough. I mean, whatever, they will always latch on each kind of insight that we have. Okay, yes, now I understand. Now the life is very easy. I mean, Ken remembers when he came here, you know, a few weeks ago. You know, he thought he sussed it all out. And now he sees it and he has not really understood it.
Not all of them. I was saying that
don't defend yourself, you know,
no,
just
I'm
listen.
I'm not defending myself, I'm just making it, I'm saying it, okay, you always say that you got to make pleasure and pain the same thing. In other words, no like or dislike.
No, I don't say that.
No, but essentially seems to be the implication.
No. This is your misunderstanding.
Okay.
I mean, that will be the end result. I mean, that will be the hole that you dig. It will be the end result, but you can't get the hole without the work.
Of course.
So you can't make things, you know, that are pleasurable being painful. And you can't make things that are painful being pleasurable.
That's
no.
Is to essentially neutralize.
Yeah, but that
all
is. But the work that you're doing, if you have a goal, if you have this kind of goal, then you are going the wrong path.
To neutralize.
That's all. Yes. Yes.
Well, if I'm trying to not hate, not have greed,
uh-huh.
I'm trying to essentially neutralize.
Well, that's your idea. Of course, you know what you say is right. You know, I don't give in to my hate and I don't give in to my greed. Yes, okay. But that doesn't mean I neutralize it. Neutralize it comes through understanding what is the true nature of greed and the true nature of hate. That's how we neutralize.
Exactly.
No. You say, you know, you don't follow greed and hate, or you want to neutralize it, but you can't neutralize it. It's just, you know, you just tell an aunt, you know.
The insight, they fall away. I mean, you know, you make them less and less and less and less, and they're not gone, but you've sort of reduced them down.
Yeah, but that is not the right way.
Well, then how do you do it?
Investigation of the body.
That's what the investigation does. I mean, investigating it like it seems it's just, you know, the more every time I get, you know, what I would consider to be an insight,
mm-hmm.
it seems like things sort of fall away of their own accord. Because I understand something that I didn't understand before, and it's like seeing through the magician's eye.
That's right.
Okay, and so it seems to me that basically, I mean, when I was gone, I was staying by myself, and I was doing Buddha all day, and the breathing. And I was in, I mean, I was almost the whole time, I was in like a little bit of samadhi. But if I would sit down, like, and do the breathing in Buddha, I would just go into samadhi. And several times, I could, you know, I had what I considered to be, you know, good insights in the way that before, everything was real murky and foggy, and all of a sudden I could see things a lot more crisply, and I could see what I needed to do, as opposed to sort of just muddling around. And so, to me, that just that, it made, I knew what work, I, you know, in other words, it gave me goals for the work and to investigate. And it seems that, you know, in investigating it, it's not something that goes away. You know, it's like little pieces. You understand this? It falls off. Yeah, I understand something else. It kind of falls away. And it's like one shovel at a time. But it's getting there, or it seems to me it's getting there. I know you think I don't do anything.
No. I know. I don't say you don't do anything, but you misunderstand something.
Well,
that is very crucial.
Well,
I mean,
when I try to ask you questions, you just get on my case. Okay.
Yes, and do you understand why I get on your case?
I know why you get on my case.
So, okay.
But the point is that I can't get... You left me on my own, for example, to rely on my own wisdom or judgment or whatever you want to call it. So I think that's what I've been doing.
Okay, and that is perfectly fine, yeah?
Okay, no, but I'm just trying to... There's some times when I would like to ask a question more just for reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sort of wandered off in the woods someplace. Mm-hmm. But it's okay, because I feel like if I wander off in the woods, that's like sticking my hand in the fire. And I got to go stick my hand in everything to see what it is. And maybe I won't do it again, but the only way I feel in the world, I've tried everything. And I keep changing things around and try it this way and try it that way. And it seems to work for me.
Yeah.
Because you see where I get results. And if I get results, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like last I think it was last night, for the first time, I was doing, you know, I had done about, I don't know, it was in after more than an hour or so of walking meditation, all of a sudden I realized I was breathing all the way down to my toes. Okay? And I, you know, unconsciously, I was just doing it. That I wasn't putting before, I tried to put effort into it and trying to feel the, you know, the sensation. But it was just happening by itself. And I mean, things like that. I felt, I hate to say pleased because I'm not supposed to be pleased, but it is pleased. And there's another thing about knowing something and letting it go. I've been trying to, you know, do that. But, and it seems to work. But sometimes, I trust my mind then to know what
that's
right.
That's where you go wrong.
Well, I don't know. What else can I cut? I've got to sort of.
If you know something, then you just say, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Well, you say the mind knows.
No, I say the chitta knows.
The chitta, okay. The chitta knows.
Yes. And this kind of knowledge, you can't, you know, you can't discuss. It's just a knowledge.
You just know.
It just knows.
But a lot of times, I just know something, but I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I think
that,
I'm right.
That cannot be right. You know, if the chitta knows, then it knows, you know, and then you're sure of it that it knows.
Well, I'm sure of it, but then I get, you'll say, no, you're doing it wrong, or you, you know, something else, or I feel like that's what you're saying sometimes.
Your idea about it is wrong. I mean, your practice is okay.
But
you know,
just
what is wrong is your understanding is wrong about what is going on. I mean, of course, you know, all these little insights within 2 years, you know, after 2 years or 3 years of my practice, you know, all these insights came up. And I thought I was, you know, I was a god. Huh? I put it just like that, yeah? And it was all wrong.
All the insights?
All the insights had nothing to do with the experience.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well.
That is just what I, you know, what I want to warn you. And then I came here. I mean, just listen.
Okay.
I just came here. And then I did for 7 years of my work without any insights arising. Until the final battle came up. Nothing happened within the 7 years. I was, you know, just working one stone after one stone, one stone, one stone. Nothing, you know, nothing great happened. Because Tenaja Mahabod, you know, he doesn't put any emphasis on insights.
Okay, I don't see the insights as being so super, so much as after not getting any results,
mm-hmm.
then to start getting results, it makes me happy that I feel like I'm
yes.
on the right
yes.
way.
Yes, okay, let you make you happy, but, you know, just don't believe it.
But it means you continue doing the same thing.
Of course, yes.
Okay, that's the only thing. That's all I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, and then don't pay any attention to the insights.
If you forget it.
Yeah, forget
know
them.
It,
right?
And then forget it.
Yeah.
No, that I can understand. That I can understand.
I mean, if you get insights, you know, if they're really inside, they're right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. It shows us something, you know, and it, as you said, you know, each time you get an insight, you know, it breaks a little bit, you know, a little bit loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can dig on. But it doesn't mean, you know, that this insight, you know, is some sort of measure of our practice. That's what is wrong.
No, that's not what I
And
really
that is
mean.
Not what we are going for. But if you're going to work for these insights, that's where we go really wrong.
No, they just come. It's just, I don't look. When I do the Budo and the breathing, I never expect anything. Whatever happens, just happens sort of just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And because I feel when I was expecting anything, I never got any result. So you said, don't expect anything, just do the Buddha. And so I feel that the only thing that's important is the Buddha, 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 and the breathing.
No? What you do? What you need to do is investigation.
No, I know, but okay. Buddha, that's what's going to get you.
No, investigation is not what's getting you.
It'll get you to the investigation, is what I mean. That's what it'll get you to. Because without doing that and going into samadhi, you can't really do any investigation. If you come out of samadhi.
Yes, you know. So then, please, you know, do not express it wrongly. You know, when we do Buddha, it gets us calm. And when we do liver, you know, it leads to insight. Investigation. Or when we do skin. I mean, until we see the skin clearly. And then we take a knife and cut it up and see what it's made out.
Okay.
Or if you take it off, you know, you just take a scalpel, you know, and cut it off and then pull it off. And, you know, the moment you pull it off, you see what is underneath it. That's investigation.
Okay.
And that leads to disillusion. That leads to, you know, to drying up the plant of greed and hate, to destroying the pot.
Okay.
Not the Buddha. I mean, you know, don't mix things up,
no? It's whatever I say, it comes out wrong.
Yeah, and then think about it. Why it comes out wrong?
Because
you have wrong ideas about it.
Oh.
That's why it comes out wrong. That's why I want to clarify, and sometimes I just let you shut up. Just to, you know, for yourself, you know, to see. Just to, I mean, to reduce. Can you stop? And let me finish.
Okay. You finished?
No. See, I mean, that pressing, you know, that comes from the kilesas. Wanting to say something, wanting to express one's views or one's experience or whatever, you know, or one's insight. It's all coming from the kilesas. They want to, you know, show off.
No, you're telling me it's, I'm wrong. No, I want to know what's right.
I mean, if you want to clarify something, you know, then just say a simple question. Ask a simple question.
The Buddha is essentially gets us to a certain point at which it's no longer useful, we discard.
No. It gets us to the state of samadhi. I mean, either upachara samadhi or apana samadhi. And have you reached apana samadhi yet?
Is that the third stage of samadhi?
Yeah.
No.
Where everything has disappeared?
Yeah, well, I had everything disappear, yeah. Everything disappeared for more than an hour.
Okay. And when you come back, how do you feel?
Amazing.
And you feel recharged?
More than recharged.
It's like you're putting your two fingers in the AC outlet. Yeah?
I wouldn't be able to sleep for 6 months.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the power of samadhi.
Yeah.
I mean, use that, and after you come out, then do investigation, and then everything, you know, divides up very easy. I mean, it's just trying to read a text without glasses, you know. A very small text. Huh? The moment you put glasses on and you have enough focus, you know, you can read it very easily and you understand it. And it's just the same thing, you know, with investigation. Once we have enough power, once we have enough concentration, we just can concentrate on one aspect of the body, you know, be it the outer aspects of the body or the inner aspects of the body, and cut just through it.
And we use that.
And then we do that. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, whatever, yes.
Yeah.
As an object, you know, until you see it with your inner eyes, and then you cut it up and see how it's made up. Or you go in, you know, and look in, you know, and do things up, you know, look in your stomach and look at the food, you know. Look how it smells, huh? I mean, we think we cannot smell it, but we can smell it. I mean, you get the smell and you get the look and you get the feel, you know, you get even the taste of it. It's not something, you know, that is completely out of question. And then seeing, you know, then ask yourself, I mean, the second, once you see it, the second question, why did I eat all this food, huh? That's, you know, we need our thinking for investigation. We need to ask useful questions. So if I see it like this, why I'm still, you know, overeating? Or why I still eat this, you know, because I see now it's not good, you know. Stomach has problem digesting it. Ah. So. And that gives us insight, you know, how to correct our eating habits. Or walking habits, or sleeping habits, or this or that. I mean, seeing something is one thing. And then question it, why? You know, why I'm still doing it? It's the second thing. Or what happens, you know, if I change my food to this or this? Or if I don't eat, you know, at all? What is going to happen? Huh? I mean, thinking, that's where we use thinking. That's the only time where we should think. Why, you know, not why is it like this, you know, but, you know, what made it like this? What did I do? What did I eat? Yeah? And now how does it look? How does it feel? How does it taste? Huh? Is that what I really want? That's what, when I get it into the mouth, that's what I'm looking for? That's what is in the stomach. And that's where it stays in the stomach. That's what we have to investigate and where we really have to train ourselves. Okay, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. See? See what you're doing? You're still doing it. When you see it in the morning and you still eat the food that you like, yeah? You still don't eat the food that you don't like.
No, I've been eating the food that I don't like.
Okay.
I've been taking the food off of the tray that lands in front of me.
Okay. Yes, this kind of thing that takes years, you know, we have to do that for years on end. Yeah. It's not that it doesn't go fall off so easily.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of leaves, you know, we have to cut off. And we have to do it, you know, until there's no need to do it anymore. So we have to investigate. And the moment you ask yourself, am I finished with the investigation of the body, then you're not finished. Well, if you ask yourself, or if you think yourself, I'm finished now. Just the same thing. You're not finished. I mean, you will pretty much know, you know, when you're finished with investigation of the body. Because that's when you turn anagami. And that is something that you won't forget. I mean, you will see the true nature of greed in him.
But you cannot explain it.
I can put some images, you know, what one can say is,
yeah.
Or what I've seen is this.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's just like, you know, being in a prison, you know, lifelong prison, not only lifelong, but, you know, forever. And then and there was a point, you know, where I got the ticket, you know, now you can leave this prison. So I asked the people around, you know, I said, where's the way out? We don't know. Nobody has ever been out there, you know, how do we know? So until you find the way out, you know, once you find the way out, you have the ticket to leave, but it's still not, you know, you still have to find the way out, you know. And once you find the way out, you know, then you see the door, you open a lot of doors, you know. And then last door you open, you see the light, huh? And then you walk down, you know, and then you look around, you know, and then suddenly this whole prison disappears. I mean, it just vanishes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just one of the descriptions, you know. Whatever our characteristic tendencies are like, that is our description. Or another, you go. You see in the middle of a lake, you see a beautiful city, a golden city, you know? But there's only one bridge. I mean, you are with all these with all these other people, and the other people are just taken up by their pleasure and their hate, you know? But you choose this bridge, huh? Once you have crossed the bridge and entered the city, you know, the bridge just disappears. There's no more bridge. So there's no way back. So you realize no more back. And then you look at the people and then you actually see greed and hate. You see, you know, that there are tigers and werewolves, you know, gnawing at the insides, at the flesh and the interiors of the people. And they love it. Oh, get more, more, take more of me, take more of me, take more of me. And they're completely up in lust or completely up in hate. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a tiger of hate or if it's, or it's a werewolf of greed, you know, that gnaws you off. Most of the people don't even have any more flesh, you know. It's the sinews and the bones. And the sinews are, and the muscles are the most, you know, most painful thing. They have no flesh left, huh? And they cry for more and more and more. I want more, I want more, I want more. And the tiger, you know, you just see them, you know, you just see the tiger and the wolf. And it really doesn't matter, you know, if it's greed or if it's hate. If it's a tiger gnawing you up or, you know, if it's a werewolf. It's the same thing. That's when you see it. That's when you understand it. But you see it only when you turn back. I mean, once everything has been destroyed, then you see it, how it really is. Before you can't see it. Even if you enter the bridge, you know, you're still walking on the bridge and you look back and you see only people. The moment the bridge disappears, then you know you cannot go back. There's nowhere back anymore. You see it. You see reality. You see the truth. And that's where greed and hate are neutralized. But before not.
But that's our goal.
No. It's not our goal to neutralize it. It's our goal to understand it.
But understanding it neutralizes it.
Not. It's the final understanding that neutralizes it. I mean, the moment you balance greed and hate, and all what we do is trying to balance greed and hate. We don't give in to greed, and we bring up hate. So that the scale of greed and hate will be balanced. I mean, they are just, you know, these are just images. You need to explain this thing that is beyond explanation. But you grasp these images and think, you know, that's what you have to do. But that is actually not what you have to do. That is actually when you look back, when everything has disappeared and you look back, then you see these images. Or these nimittas, better call it nimittas. The nimittas that arise from the understanding. But as long as you're on your way to the bridge, you know, as long as, even if you see that golden city, and as long as you're on the bridge, you know, and you still look back, you don't see it. The moment the bridge disappears, or the moment that the prison, you know, just vanishes. I mean, it just vanishes into the dust. Then you will see it. So if you take the goal, you know, to neutralize greed and hate, I mean, that is leading you on the wrong path. That's why I say, just do the work of investigation, 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 until you see the way out. And that is balancing the scale. I mean, all our life we were running for the pleasant things. And now with investigation we bring up all the loathsome things. I mean, just to balance the scale. I mean, it's way out of balance, huh? How can you neutralize it? You can neutralize it only when it's complete imbalance. Then you can walk through the middle and then it's gone. That's how you neutralize it. So you neutralize it by not giving in to greed and bringing up a lot of hate and a lot of loathsome feelings. To bring the scale into balance.
Okay.
And then, after you bring the scale into balance, then you start actually the mastery of greed and hate. You replace greed with hate, and you replace hate with greed. Then you become the master of feelings. You replace a loathsome feeling with a happy feeling, and a happy feeling with a loathsome feeling.
Can I say balance?
No. It's not balance, you replace it. You change an unpleasant feeling into a pleasant feeling, and a pleasant feeling into an unpleasant feeling. And you do that within the click of the eye. Boops, it's gone. Boops, it's gone. I mean, then, after that, you become the master. before you're still the slave. I mean, you try not to give in to unpleasant feeling, but you still are the slave of the unpleasant feeling, or you're still the slave of the pleasant feeling.
So you turn the pleasant feeling into an unpleasant feeling.
That's right.
Pleasant feeling into a pleasant feeling.
Yes. Until you can do it within the blink of the eye. And then you can call yourself a master. I mean, because then you are not slave to these unpleasant feelings. Whatever comes up, you know, you can you instantly can change it. If lust comes up, you change it through hate. But you have to learn that. And that is all what this investigation is about. To learn to bring up these unpleasant feelings. Because unpleasant feelings and pleasant feelings arise in the citta and have nothing to do with the nature. I mean, the nature is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Whatever you see, whatever you feel, is not neither pleasant nor unpleasant. I mean, it's a citta that makes it pleasant or unpleasant, or it's a kilesas that make it pleasant or unpleasant. So if you don't understand it, yeah? But if you're trying to be smart and now go on to it, you know, nothing will happen. I mean, you just do things, you know, the way you want. And you know, people always want to be fast, huh? They don't want to learn from the rock. I mean, we have to learn by the rock, yeah? One thing after one, another thing, huh? I mean, you're not satisfied with a shovel, you know? You take a bulldozer.
Got a good dharma talk.
Huh?
I got a good dharma talk.
You got a good dharma talk?
Yeah, you've
really
given us some good
dharma. Yeah? Well, it depends on the people.
What happened after 7 years?
Actually, it was 6 years, yeah. 6 years.
6 years, every day.
Same thing.
Investigations. How many hours?
18 hours.
18 hours. Wow. Never get bored or something. After 4 years, is there maybe...
No.
Really? That's amazing.
Then what happened?
It doesn't matter what happened. It's important, you know, that you just do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else do I want to do? Of course, you know, sometimes you came up, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, you know, do you want to be reborn? No. Okay,
go on.
But then after a while, you know, the question never arises anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, each time, you know, this question comes up, you know, you just kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after years, you know, you have nothing else to do, you know. You just do work. I mean, doesn't matter. You're in the middle of the mountain, huh? You're digging the tunnel to freedom, huh? I mean, can you stop? Or do you want to stop? I mean, the moment you go back, you know, all the stones are falling, you know, in the tunnel, you know, and then you have to dig again.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the use of it? Now I'm already digging, you know. I don't know if tomorrow or the day after tomorrow it comes up. And then one day it happens, you know? It just happens. Huh? Wow.
That's it.
It's amazing. And you just do it. And the closer you come to that, and the more painful and the more difficult it becomes. Right? But you work yourself all this way up, so you don't mind it. I mean, that is the patience, that is the endurance that is needed for a practitioner. I mean, people who are hot-tempered, you know, can't do it. Except if they, you know, they turn their hot-tempered, you know, into a working force. I mean, they dig as twice as much as you know. But if they turn, of course, their hot-temperedness into expectation, then actually what is going, there are more stones and more rebels falling in their ways. I mean, that's why, you know, that's why I always onto you can, because you go, you think in the wrong direction. That's why I'm walking. I mean, of course I can let you go in the wrong direction if you want to. But just the thinking, you know, of doing this or doing that or achieving this or achieving that is leading us in the wrong direction. It's leading us in the direction of the kilesa. Just doing the work and digging and digging and digging, as hard as it's tough as it might be, you know, that is the work that brings results. Understand it? I mean, investigation, oh, I investigated this liver for 1,000 or 1,000,000 times, you know, I'm bored. I'm sick of it, you know. And after 10 times, you know, even after 3 times, we think we understand. We still don't understand. After 10 times, we are sure we understand it. But then we still go on and do it 11 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, until it drops away. Even if you think you understand, that is where you go wrong. You think it neutralizes, that's where you go wrong. You think this, that's where you go wrong. Because you don't use the thinking to investigate the things. That's where you go right. You still don't understand it. What the hell is going on? I still don't understand it. You have to be open-minded, you know. Any kind of idea that comes into the mind, you have to squash out. Just, not interested, not interested. I'm sure that this is wrong kind of understanding. There must be something else. So let's dig a little bit deeper. And what is there? And what is there? You know, let's see it. You know, bring it up. This is really gross. So see it, you know. I mean, it comes up, you know. You want to puke sometimes, huh? Because it's so gross what you see. You never had an idea that it's there. I mean, we bring up these unpleasant feelings in our thoughts just for one thing. To be able to deal with unpleasant feelings and to balance the scale. Because once we are fit for unpleasant things, once we can deal with unpleasant things in the proper way, then we can change to deal with pleasant things. Because with pleasant things our mind is immediately gone. I mean, there's no mindfulness left. The moment we are happy, there's no mindfulness left at all. Or the moment we think, oh, that was a big insight, that is where, you know, a lot of happiness and a lot of conceit comes up. We are gone. We are not even able to investigate this. That's why we have to learn it, you know, with the things that we don't like. That's where we have to learn investigation, you know, until we are up to the point where we understand, you know, how these things are made. Until we can latch on to the pleasant things. Because the pleasant things normally carry us away. And we never investigate them because they are pleasant. I mean, that's all what we want, you know, isn't it? We want pleasant things, insights, you know, and all these things, huh? So we never investigate them. Or do you investigate them? No.
I try to investigate everything. I mean, comes up, but then let it go.
So what is pleasant, you know, if you investigate pleasant things, how does it, what do you see? What kind of things do you see?
Well, essentially, pleasant things, it's like greed. I mean, it's like I can see in some sense, like for example, food.
Uh-huh.
If you like food,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Like when they put out the food.
Yeah.
How do I put it? I look at something and say, oh, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of times, I don't eat the things that I would necessarily like to eat.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. We just discussed that before. But that is not, you know, that is not how you deal with pleasant feelings.
That's not the investigation, but it's hard to I mean, the investigation is, like you said, it's just asking questions. It's like looking at it and trying not to enjoy, you know. Well, I don't know. It's like,
it's not trying not to enjoy it.
No, look, I'm trying to say is I don't know how to say, because anything I'm going to say is going to come out wrong and you're going to jump on.
Yeah. Yes, of course. And why do you think I jump on? Because it comes out wrong. And why does everything come out wrong? Because of our basic misunderstandings. That's why it comes out wrong. You understand that?
Well, I think I, you know, like I...
Oh, you got it.
I think I've got it, but I mean, you know, you say I don't understand, so then you ask me if I understand.
No, don't. Now don't try to get smart, huh?
No, I mean, you know, I'm serious. Because I think I understand, and...
What I say, of course, yes. If I say something, you can say, yes, you understand, or you understand the principle that is behind it.
Yes.
The reason why things are coming out wrongly is because you assume it in the wrong way. And that's why I'm always picking on you. I mean, he's smart, he doesn't say a thing. I mean, I would pick on him, you know, just the same way, but I'd pick on him, you know, some other times. But you want to express something because you think you're smart or you think you understand. And this kind... Can you be calm? Can you be mindful? Can't just calm down and let me talk, let me finish what I say.
No, go ahead. I'm waiting.
So you're not calm because you're waiting. If we have things, if we make understandings, if we get some insights, if we have some experience, it's all valid. There's nothing wrong with it. The moment we want to express it, it comes through our, it will be expressed through our views and opinions that we have about the experience that we made. And that's what is wrong. It's not that the experience, it's not that the practice you're doing is wrong. But the way you express it, the way you assume this should be like this, or your understanding is wrong. That's why it always comes out wrong. I mean, if you didn't have any views, any experience, if you just would talk about the experience that you have, I mean, it would come out right. But you all already processed the experience into making a new view, a new understanding. And then you bring it and you present it. And that is wrong. And that's why I always latch on you. And it's not only you, Ken. It's every one of you. The moment somebody tries just to express one experience, I experience this and this and this, and that's perfectly fine. But the moment we had our assumptions going on and working on this, you know, and that is what I'm talking about. If something pleasant arises, you know, and an insight is always pleasant, you know, our thinking immediately starts, and we don't see it, we don't stop it. And then wrong views come out. If you just, yeah, Elisa can do the same thing, you know. If she just would talk about her experience, you know, I mean, her questions would be very short. But she has to put it in a whole story, you know, and that's why the question becomes so long. And in the end, you know, the one, I don't even understand the question she's asking.
I'm quite lost.
Yes, because you're lost. If you just, you know, as a practitioner, if we just talk about our experience that we have. I mean, last night I was walking Chongkrom and then suddenly, you know, I felt this or I felt that, you know, but how can I deal with it?
Yeah, something like
that. But, okay, that is a very short question. But then we start, you know, by Adam and Eve. For the last 3 days, you know, this was, and that, and, you know, and the question itself that we wanted to ask, you know, the Kilesas have muddled it up so that they can't ask, you know, Yeah, the Dhamma actually cannot ask the question anymore.
It's a valid question, but didn't know how to put it.
Yes, the Dhamma, of course, the Dhamma wants to ask questions. So some people ask questions, and some of the questions they don't even say anything. But you know, sometimes they say something.
I just
want to point it out, you know. Always point it out to you, you know.
Sometimes I want to ask a question about something is fuzzy, and so I'll just throw in a question which I know is going to be wrong, but you'll start talking, and by the time you've finished, you've usually clarified. So, I mean, to some extent, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand what you say. You know, I never said, you know, not asking questions. Of course we can ask questions. Okay. Huh? I mean, even if the questions come out wrong, you know, and I understand what your person is. But, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, behind the process of asking questions, you know, in the moment, you know, We're talking about investigation of pleasant feelings. You know, I come out of samadhi and I'm very happy, you know, and our thoughts are going wild. And that's where actually our investigation of pleasant feelings should, you know, grab into, our mindfulness should grab into, But stop it. I mean, an experience is an experience, you know, you don't need to express it. There's no need to express an experience, huh? What's the use of it? How can I get it again? It's one of the first questions. How can I make it longer? It's the second question. What did I do? You know, this is another question. To get that. I mean, in order to get that, all what we did is either concentrating our mind on just one point. That's how we get it. We don't need to ask that stupid question. It's a way of the Kilesas. We want to make out something out of something. That actually, you know, we already experienced. I mean, that is the radio announcer, you know. I mean, the news are there already, you know, we don't need to announce them. Even if he doesn't announce it or not, you know, the news will be still news. And that's where we go wrong. Because we have our views and assumptions about how it would be, you know. And these, of course, these views and assumptions, the more you listen to me, will be, you know, try to put it into the framework that I give you. And then you still understand certain things that you still misunderstand, you know, because then you think, I have to neutralize it. No, it's not the way. Now, to neutralize these things is not to give in. That is the first step. The second thing is to investigate. An unpleasant feeling. What is an unpleasant feeling? Anicca, anatta, dukkha. First of all, it doesn't belong to me. It's not me, it's not myself. It's anicca. It arises and ceases. That is, and it's dukkha. I mean, it's unpleasant. So we all have these three characteristics. So we see them and see them and see them and see them and see them each time. That's how we investigate unpleasant feelings. The same thing with a pleasant feeling. It's anicca. It's not me. It doesn't belong to me. It just arises and ceases, and arises and ceases. And once we become the master, we can change this. You know, we see, oh, there's a pleasant feeling. Okay, let's change it. Boops. And it becomes unpleasant. Oh, there's an unpleasant feeling. Boop. Change it, you know, into a pleasant feeling. But if you don't understand the nature of pleasant feelings and unpleasant feeling, if you just want to neutralize it, you can't do it.
This weapon very good.
Yes. I mean, Tenacha Mahabodha talks about it. That's the last stage before Anagami.
He talks here. It's wonderful.
So you can have always pleasant feelings if you want. Pleasant, you say it's okay, and the unpleasant you switch.
No, after that, you know, after that you really, that's gone. I mean, you're not interested in it anymore.
Oh, okay.
You use it as a game, you know, it's the last game, you know, to understand it. And then it's
so
over.
You could really master it, then you break through, and then you are not affected by anything.
That's right.
So you're in the center.
Yeah, until you understand, you know, until you play this game, you know, until it becomes really really fast, you know, until you understand who is playing this game. And once you understand what this game is all about, I mean, you're not interested anymore.
No fun anymore. It's just
moving. And it just dropped by itself.
And you cannot explain it, we have to experience it. So, you can explain it, and can I do it too?
No, you can't do it.
Why? If you say it to me, yeah, this is this.
Like, I mean, first of all, you have to master the basic things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no use of talking about the higher level.
Yeah.
You know, it's no use, you know, to talking to a high school student about higher math.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't, if he doesn't grasp, you know, basic math. I mean, once you grasp basic math, you know, then you can talk about higher math. I mean, it might be fascinating for him,
yeah?
To listen about higher math, but you know, he still can't grasp it.
Okay.
Only if he can do basic math just by the rod, you know, then it will be easy for him, you know, to learn once and once and once, you know, the higher levels. But of course, you know, we are old, and, you know, we don't want to do the basic stuff, you know, that's not interesting. We want to go latch on to the last thing, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's where we go wrong.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. I mean, as long as we are not finished with the investigation of the body, we don't even need to think about these games. The body has to be finished, completely investigated, finished, and we have to be out of the prison before we do this thing. That's just the last work.
But pain is an unpleasant feeling.
Yes.
You can change pain in a pleasant feeling.
I mean, there are two kinds of pleasant feelings or two kinds of unpleasant feelings. Of course, bodily unpleasant feelings we cannot change.
Okay.
But you know, you can choose. You know, if a fly lands on your head. Or if an elephant stands on your head, this you can choose. I mean, the elephant you can change.
Mm-hmm.
But the fly that is still landing on your head, you know, you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that
is mental feelings and physical feelings.
Yeah.
The physical feeling is just like a fly landing on your head. I mean, the mental feeling is that elephant stands on your head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's devastating.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, physical feelings will always be there, but the mental feelings just go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just a relief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, you know, it won't be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yesterday, you know, because the weather was changing, I had extreme headache, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I have headache. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say it's a pleasant feeling.
Yes.
But I don't care. I don't need to, you know, I don't run to see a doctor, you know, give me some pills, or, you know, take some pills. And now it goes. It comes and then it goes. No matter what.
May I ask a question? Regarding long term.
Hmm?
Regarding long term.
Mm-hmm.
I overheard a few days ago, Arisala Longpa mentioned that when he was a monk under Ajahn Mun, he refuses to take any medicine for any sicknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ajahn Mun advised him to take medicine. Would you like to elaborate more? Because they didn't say much, you see. The sister was asking because I think it's big time.
Oh, when he had malaria and had high fever, you know, then Ajahn Mun came up to him and, you know, gave him some pills and said, you know, take them, it's good.
It seems that Longpa didn't want to, right?
He didn't want to, you know, but because Tanachaman gave it to him, you know, so he took it. I mean, I don't know in what kind of context he was talking about it or bringing up this example. But the teaching of Thanachara Man is to understand sickness and overcome sickness with Dhamma. And Thanachara Mahaprabhu understood it, you know, understood it this way, and he wanted to overcome sickness with Dhamma. I mean, with training, investigation, or Buddha. So he didn't want to take any medicine. But that doesn't mean that we cannot take any medicines. Of course we can take medicine. I mean, if it's too much, you know, it's too much, okay. And if there's a medicine, we can choose it to take it. Or we cannot choose it not to take it. It depends on. I mean, the power of the citta is, you know, extreme. I mean, this citta created this body. You know, once we get the power of it, you know, we can heal the body. Not of karmic diseases, that is of course impossible. Karma is karma, you know. When we have this disease because of karma, we can't heal it. Because it's karma. We cannot go beyond the law of karma. No matter how powerful our citta is, you know, we cannot go beyond the law of karma. Well, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't mean that all of the diseases that come up and bother us are karmic. Karmic.
Let me see. You once said that if one do not take care of the heart, one really wretch the body, like the reckless driver. So when you wretch a body, that means you will suffer some bodily aches or sicknesses. So this is a cause of action due to that, you know. Don't that is karmatic too? How do you differentiate?
I don't know. I really don't get the point.
Huh?
I really don't understand the question, and I don't think it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, whatever we do, you know, if there is sickness, if we have medicine or if we have no medicine, we investigate the sickness. We investigate the disease. And then sometimes we can overcome it, sometimes we can't. The sickness are really great, you know, because they are so unpleasant. So we can so much learn from sickness and disease. I mean, even if the sickness doesn't go away, or if the pain doesn't go away, we still can learn and understand pain. I mean, that's what we are for. That's what we are practicing. But it can happen as a byproduct that the sickness disappears. Huh? But it disappears, you know, if it's not karmic. Or if the karma is ended that way, you know. I mean, it's very difficult to say.
Yeah. I guess I like this aspect, yeah. It has its lifespan too, right?
I mean, for us, these things are very, very difficult and very difficile. I mean, they are very, very difficult to understand. Karma is one of the most difficult things to understand. Lord Buddha could understand it, and a few of the arahants could understand it. A few. At the time of the Lord Buddha, there were 1,200 or 1,500 arahants. Only a few of them could understand the law of karma. Not everybody can understand the law of karma.
Arunanda? Venerable Arunanda?
I don't know. No, I think Sariputta. Sariputta.
Mahakasapa?
Mahakasapa was magic, Sariputta was wisdom. Sariputta was equal in wisdom to the Lord Buddha. And Mahakasapa, no. Mukalana. Mukalana was... Mahakasapa, I don't know.
Mukalana is a psychic...
psychic powers equal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
So there were the two, the left hand and the right hand of the Lord Buddha.
Okay, okay.
Mahakasapa was just a good man. But of course, you know, he had we had certain powers, but we don't know what kind of powers yet. It is written in the suttas, and it doesn't really interest us. All what interests us is the work right now. And to get into the habit of doing the work, just the work, just the work. Eh? And then, of course, in the kilesas want to have results, eh? So they're looking for results, and then we get results. But that's not the result of our practice, it's the result of the kilesas. They tell us we get results. I mean, that's why we should be wary. You know, we should understand the true nature of unpleasant feelings, and we should understand the true nature of pleasant feelings. But, you know, for us, you know, because we have trained ourselves all our lives, you know, running after pleasant feelings, so the first thing or the easiest path is to understand unpleasant feelings before we can investigate pleasant feelings. Because pleasant feelings nobody cares to understand, you know, it's just pleasant. Oh, wow, great. And then we just stick with it. And a pleasant feeling comes.
Not in cup 9, really.
I mean, unpleasant feelings we want to go away, you know, so we are much more ready to investigate it. But pleasant feelings, you know, we like, you know, we are not ready to investigate. But we have, in the end, we have to investigate. Until you see the pleasant feelings and unpleasant feelings are just feelings. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant.